Well, hello and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams, and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And good Lord have mercy. I hope everyone's having a wonderful day, and I wish you all peace, love, and happiness. And yes, last Friday, I did in fact take a little break from making a podcast episode. The schoolwork at home with my kid, it's a little rough to get time to, you know, have a silent place to record because the school makes all the noise. Like the teacher is talking and, you know, other classmates are chiming in with answers to certain questions. And man, this is just a whole brand new world that we're dealing with, a whole new way of doing things now. So, but this particular week, well, starting on Monday, actually, the school system that my son is a part of is going to start offering hybrid school as well as all virtual school. So some students will actually be going to the school and sitting in the classroom and things like that. Me and my wife, we have decided to keep our son 100% virtual. It would be nice to, you know, parents have that time when their kids are at school when they're just not there, but for his safety, I think I'd rather have him be like at the house, because, you know, you got 10, 11 year old kids and we trust them to wear masks and stay socially distanced and not try on somebody else's mask, you know, all the little things that kids do because they don't understand the gravity of what's going on. So we've decided to keep our son 100% virtual. And this weekend is kind of the transition between starting some kids being the hybrid learning and some kids staying 100% virtual. So, man, this is definitely a trying time. All the parents out there, I feel what you're going through, because we're going through it here. And I would just say, you know, keep the faith. Keep on pushing. This is going to be an adjustment period, and we're going to have to learn how to adjust. So, congratulations to all the teachers out there keeping their sanity while going through this time also. Man, never has it been more evident the pains that our teachers go through than when we actually see every day what they do have to put up with and deal with. So shout out to all the teachers. I have never appreciated you guys more than I have right now. Now that it's in my face and you're dealing with hard-headed kids or kids that just don't do their work. Like some kids, they're just not even paying attention. There's this one kid in my son's class, like I think he's literally playing video games during class time. And the teacher is always calling him out for it and asking him to pay attention. And, you know, she's been emailing his parents. I don't know what his parents are doing, but it's like every day, like this kid's like, so-and-so, I see you looking off to the side. I need you to pay attention to class. Like, and he just never pays attention. Like, he doesn't care. So, good Lord. But anyway, aside from all of that, it has been a lot going on. And I'll tell you, on top of adjusting to this online learning and having my kid at home as being the reason why there was no podcast last Friday, there was also news that came out that the President of the United States contracted coronavirus. And I didn't want to put out an episode during that time because, to be honest, I didn't know what was going to happen. Like, as much as I dislike the current president of the United States, Donald Trump, I don't want to see the man hurting or I don't want to see him dying. And that's weird considering, you know, the things that he's done. But he has been in quarantine, but, you know, he kind of still doing his Twitter thing. He's supposed to be resting and relaxing. There's been a couple of interviews with him, like, on the phone, and you can tell he's winded. Like, he's coughing, he's congested. You can hear it in his voice through the phone interviews. But he swears up and down, he's ready, and he wants to do a rally, I believe, on Friday, the 6th of October? Like, he wants to get back out on the campaign trail. The 9th of October, I'm sorry. He wants to get out this weekend and do another rally. He wants to be released from quarantine. And I have to tell you, one of the most disgusting things that I think I've heard from him so far, out of all the things that he's done and said during his entire presidency, he put out a video as soon as he was released from the hospital. He was at Walter Reed Medical Center. He put out a video that said, basically, the coronavirus is no big deal. Don't worry about it. Don't let it ruin your life. Don't let it define your life. And I'm sorry, for me, that is just incredibly insensitive. We've had 200,010, and the number keeps climbing up. 210,000 Americans dead. And he really has the nerve to come out and say, don't let it ruin your life. And to the people that have been affected by this virus, to the people that have lost loved ones, you've got people who's lost loved ones. They couldn't be there with that loved one in their final moments because of coronavirus. They couldn't bury them properly, like be at the funeral, at the funeral home, because of coronavirus. So it's hard for me to fathom that he would actually come out and say it's not a big deal. And he's trying to portray, I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to portray strength. Like, he wants the economy back open. He doesn't want people to focus on how debilitating this virus has been for the entire planet. But for the United States, most likely, we have the worst numbers in terms of deaths in the entire world. Like, we are the country that other nations look to for leadership and for guidance and for doing the right thing. Like my entire life, all we've heard is that America is the country that other nations follow. We set the example, we set the bar. Maybe as far as like technology, like in recent years, I believe that facade is starting to crumble. But as long as I can remember, it's been like America was just like the shining beacon in the world. And now it just seems like we're a laughing stock. And on top of that, we have the most coronavirus deaths on the planet. So, and by the way, he had this amazing cocktail of drugs that he was on, I don't even remember what the name of the drug was. Something started with R, Remdesivir, or something like that. Something that he was on. He was given steroids. Of course, he's the president of the United States, so he was treated with the best doctors, the best drugs, and the best care that anybody could have. So, number one, most people wouldn't get the care that he got. Most people wouldn't get the drugs that he got. So for him to just immediately come out of the hospital and say, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Don't let it ruin your life. Don't let it rule your life. I mean, incredibly insensitive and disgusting. Like I said, I have to say that is probably the most horrid thing that I've heard him say to this point. I am truly, truly ashamed, and I'm truly sorry for the people that have lost loved ones. And like I said, that number continues to climb, and people still are not able to, like, if you've got someone dying, you can't spend their last moments on this planet with that person because of this virus. So, man, that sentiment that the president said, I do not subscribe to that. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say it's nothing, it's not the big deal, don't let it ruin your life. No, like, that's the reason why we're keeping our son 100% virtual learning in school, because we can't take that chance. And it just gets like closer and closer. Like, my wife's family members, there's several family members that where she's from that have contracted coronavirus. And now we're thinking that maybe, if you're a listener to the podcast, maybe a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago now, actually, what am I mean, weeks? But back in like late January, early February, My father-in-law's mother passed away, and they never really actually gave a reason for her death. Like, she had like flu-like symptoms, shortness of breath, and it was all the coronavirus usual symptoms. So we're kind of going back now and thinking that maybe it was coronavirus that took this lady. And because it wasn't that big of a deal, we didn't know about it. Like, it wasn't listed as being a coronavirus death. And another fact, back in February, my daughter, she even had something called that she thought was the flu. It was like flu-like symptoms, but she couldn't get rid of it for like a month. Like, she was dealing with like the shortness of breath, and she stayed out of work, she stayed quarantined, but she was at her dorm still in college, which she graduated from. I'm proud to announce that she's graduated. She actually got her diploma in the mail, so that was a very, very exciting milestone there. But back earlier this year, she was gravely sick. And she would go to the doctors, and the doctors could never tell her what was wrong with her. Like, they never gave her an actual diagnosis. They just gave her antibodies, and I don't know if they gave her, like, a steroid drug or something to help her body fight the infection. But eventually, she got better, but they never told her what was wrong with her. So, that's 6 degrees of separation. Even if it's not affecting you directly, there's probably somebody that you know that has either had coronavirus and survived it, or you know somebody that might have had family members that passed. But as the numbers of this virus increase, and I feel like we're going into the cold season, so it might get a little worse. I hope that does not happen. But getting into the cold season, like some people that have like normal allergies or normal flus, like this is going to be a rough time. So, I would encourage everybody, keep the faith, keep on pushing, keep on moving. Unfortunately, like that sentiment from the President of the United States, I do not agree with. This virus is real. It is deadly, and it's not affecting people the way that we think it's affecting. Like it's people younger and younger are getting this illness and dying also. So it's not just the elderly. It's not just people that's already sick. Like it can affect everybody. So here we are, with this, we're still in the middle of this pandemic. Like every time it seems like some of the cases are going down, like we're having another spike in cases again. And of course that's leading to more deaths. But I don't know. Man, like it's crazy. It's just crazy what's going on and how we're having to adjust. So now looking ahead to the future, it's starting to look more and more like, how are we going to live with this particular virus? Like I don't think it's a thing of life getting back to normal, quote unquote. Now I think it's going to be, how do we change and adapt and live with this virus? Hoping to be a vaccine for it soon. I don't think I'm going to take it, though, because, you know, you never know. Like, unfortunately, there's just been so much mistrust seeded into the public. Like, it's hard to trust any of our public figures, any of our supposedly public servants. It's hard to tell whether they're actually doing something for their own good or if they're actually doing it for the good of the people. And sad state of affairs being right now. But I'll tell you this, we're going to keep on pushing. We're going to keep on going. So let me take a quick break. I'm going to introduce a brand new partner that I have that's over on Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures. If you look up my blog, got something called Brain Food from a company called Vela Vita. And been taking this thing for a while, man. It's amazing. I highly encourage you guys to take a look at it and get you a pack if you want. If you want to send me a DM, I will work out a way to start sending out samples. I'll give more information on that a little bit later on as time goes on. But man, you got to try this stuff. This stuff keeps your mind focused. It keeps the brain fog cleared, helps you feel better, gives you that energy boost. I mean, it's remarkable. So let me take a quick break. I'll be right back. And I would like to talk today about moral responsibilities and legal responsibilities. I know that sounds like a weird little segue there, but that's what we're talking about today on the Uplifting Words podcast. So look forward to seeing you guys back with me, and I'll be right back. Hey, everybody. DeCourcy Williams here with the Uplifting Words podcast, and I want to tell you about Wine Ambassador. Wine Ambassador is an amazing company where you can get high quality Napa Valley wines shipped directly to your door. Becoming a member with Wine Ambassador will allow you to get deep discounts on your wines, and you can begin to set up social parties, giving wine giveaways and wine tastings, and earn some money with this amazing company. Click the link in the description and you'll be taken to a short video where it'll give you a brief rundown of everything that this company can do for you. Wine Ambassador, where we are changing the way that you buy wines one person at a time. All right, well, hello, welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me here. And this section of the podcast, I want to talk about legal and moral responsibilities. So first of all, let me preface this by saying that probably to my detriment, I engage in these micro arguments on social media about the current state of our country. And a lot of people are trying to use the law in justifying what's going on. You know, when you talk about somebody who is killed by police officers, a lot of times you'll hear the argument, well, if you just comply with officers, then you wouldn't get shot. Or if you wouldn't disobey the law, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. So on and so forth. But I think, and that's from a legal standpoint. Yeah, I agree. If you just comply with the officers, yeah, that's how it should go. Better yet, if you just don't break the law, period, you wouldn't have anything to worry about. Yeah, that is how it should go. But morally, I know in my heart that that is not how this justice system in this country is set up. There are differences there are levels of differences of what people can get away with based on the color of their skin. There's assumptions that people make based on the color of their skin. Now, and to me, I don't think a morally righteous person would not think that they are superior than somebody in some way because of the color of their skin. And that's where a lot of this comes from. So, okay, let me give a little description. Legal responsibility is relative to some kind of legal system wherever you live. Like, you got to follow the laws or else you're going to suffer consequences. Whether it be fines, whether it be jail time, what have you. Moral responsibility, that's not tied to any laws or any region. That applies to anyone, everywhere. And the penalty from not following your moral center is, you know, something as little as feeling shame or feeling guilt. Some people, their culture believes that if you don't stick with your moral center, that means the your soul in the afterlife. So, you know, there's different levels to your moral responsibility. And it's something that's kind of difficult to get tamped down because everybody has something that they believe in morally and it's all different. So, like I said, let me also say this. So talking about an organization like Black Lives Matter, some people, they like to make it comfortable for themselves by trying to get everybody in the same bubble, like Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Democrats, Libs, Libtards is what the people like to call them or whatever. But they like to kind of get them all in the same barrel, the same bucket, because it makes them feel comfortable about how they feel. Now, I don't believe that Black Lives Matter is the same as like the looters and the rioters and things like that. There are some people out there that's really doing some stupid things. Yeah. And what they're doing is they're hurting the cause. That's what they're doing. I'm not okay with any of this looting or rioting or destruction of property or anything else like that. I think that is horrible. That is despicable. And it's not accomplishing anything. But on the same token, I understand why it's happening. People are pissed off because we're being told that if we just do, you know, we just do X, Y, and Z, we won't have anything to worry about. There are some people that actually don't believe that there's systemic racism in this country. That is, man, I was listening to Candace Walker the other day, and she's a black conservative young lady. And there's a lot of people that, you know, they think that she's this upstanding woman. They look up to her because she's very smart. When she speaks, she's very articulate, so on and so forth. But a lot of black folks, like, we've had enough of her because she literally thinks that black people commit more crimes than other people. And that's why law enforcement targets black folk. Like, I've actually heard her say this. Words out of her mouth was she was talking to Ben Shapiro It might shock people to know that I listen to Ben Shapiro because I like to hear all sides of any arguments. I like to hear what conservative people are saying. But anyway, she was in an interview with Ben Shapiro and she said straight up, black people commit more crimes. Now, I don't believe that. Like, once you say something like that, then we kind of have to deal with that first, because I want to see how you think that. That's basically saying that black people are, like, we don't have the intelligence, or we don't have the stick-to-itiveness, or we don't have, you know, the sense to not commit crimes. I don't believe that. I believe that people just commit crimes, and the justice system paints certain people one way and certain people another. So when all you see and all you hear about is black people doing or committing crimes, if that's what's on the news, that's on the radio, that's what you see in movies and television, then yeah, eventually you're going to like believe like, okay, yeah, black people do commit more crimes. But that is, I don't believe that's true. I just believe that people commit crimes. Everybody commits crimes equally. You know, different reasons why people do different things. You know, some people just do it because they want to. Some people are desperate. Some people are in need. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why people do the things that they do. But anyway, that is why when Candace talks, like, it's kind of like in one ear and out the other, because we have fundamental differences on how we believe. So we're talking about moral versus the legal kind of responsibility. And I believe that when you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, your moral center, wherever it is, it'll let you know. And I think that's it's a physical manifestation. Like, your heart might race. You might get a little feeling like in the back of your head. Your chest might tingle. Your mouth might get dry. Your throat might start to crack. And, you know, all kinds of, like, physical manifestations of when you're doing something wrong and you know you're not doing something. Or when you're doing something wrong and you know it. So now, moral values, like, can be different for every person, obviously, which is why this is a strange conversation to have. So I would just encourage everybody, follow your moral center. Now, yes, we all have to follow the law. Be living in whatever country, whatever state, whatever municipality that you live in, there are certain laws that must be followed. And yeah, follow the law. Which is why I totally disagree with, like, the rioters and the looters, because not only are they not following the law, but I don't believe they're following that moral center either. Like, I know people are angry, I know people get pissed off, but something should tell you or should stop you from destroying somebody else's property. Because even through all the anger and all the frustration that people are having, you know good and well that that doesn't do anything. Like, saying burning everything down or destroying everything, that's not doing anything. Like, if anything, that's hurting your cause more than it's helping. It's giving fuel to people that oppose you, because they look at you as, yeah, you're part of this organization and you're destroying everything. So, but I don't believe people that's involved with the rioting and the looting, like, looking, if they really look deep down, I think morally, they would realize that they're doing more harm than help. Like, I think that you feel something if you're just in the street and you pick up a brick and you throw it through a window in a store. Like, you know that's wrong. You know that you shouldn't be doing that. You know that it's not helping anything. But, like I said, people are pissed. And I get it. Breonna Taylor was sleeping in her home and the cops busted in her home and shot her up. She got shot 8 times. Cops were not indicted. But you know what the charges that they bought the one police officer on? Was it wanton endangerment? Which means he wasn't chastised for the shot, for shooting Breonna Taylor. He was in trouble for the shots that missed. The shots that went into the wall and could have possibly hit somebody else, that could have possibly hit a neighbor. But he wasn't in trouble for actually shooting her. The men that shot Ahmaud Arbery, they're not in trouble either. This was a man jogging through a neighborhood, and he stopped to look at the construction of a house. An unfinished house. It was the frame. He wasn't stealing. He was just looking around at how the house was being constructed. And these two men thought that he shouldn't be there. They chased him down. They shot him and they killed him. No justice. No repercussions. Those guys are still out. They get to talk to family member and friends. Ahmaud Arbery is dead. Breonna Taylor is dead. Philando Castile is dead. Sandra Bland is dead. Michael Brown is dead. Trayvon Martin is dead. So people are upset. People are pissed off because this keeps happening. And as much as we're talking about it, it doesn't feel like there's that much change happening. So I get the rioting and the looting, even though I'm totally against it. Because what else are people supposed to do? Like, you don't want athletes to stand up and say anything. You think they should just shut up and just be engaged in their profession. Which, by the way, it really kills me to think that people think that black folks that have money are somehow sheltered from racism and discrimination. Like how we've put money and possessions and things like that on such a high pedestal that we actually believe that people that have money in abundance don't have to worry about racism. So when LeBron James speaks up or he says anything, people are like, how dare he say anything living comfortably in his mansion and driving his Ferrari? That man still has kids. He still has sons that he's desperately scared for. LeBron James, I guarantee you, if he's driving his car and police lights come up behind him, he knows the drill. Any black man who's driving and a police officer pulls up behind him and puts their lights on, we get that fear. I don't care who you are. We already know. Put your hands on the steering wheel, have your license and crap already out on the dashboard so that you don't make any sudden movements. Have the window rolled down and yes, sir. No, sir, or yes, officer, no, officer. And all the while, that's not guaranteeing that we're not going to get shot. So having a whole bunch of money does not shield these people from feeling the effects of what's going on. So that part always kills me. But LeBron has a platform. People don't want him to speak out. They don't want people taking the knee at sporting events to shed a light on the injustices. People don't want movies to change to highlight actors or stories about people of color. So, I mean, what can be done? People say follow the law, comply with law officers, don't live in certain neighborhoods. Like whatever else people try to say, like, okay, if you don't want us to do any of those things, what would be an acceptable way to bring light to social injustices that's happening? And I haven't heard an answer for any of that. I haven't heard what people expect other people to do. So you just expect people to continue to die in the streets and get killed by people that's supposed to protect them, people that's paid to protect them. You expect people to just die and nothing happen. Like you expect for a black family who buys a house to not be able to buy a house in a certain neighborhood. Or if they do buy a house, maybe they get charged a higher interest rate, even though they have a better credit score, better FICO score, a bigger down payment than maybe a white family has, because that's happened. You expect black people to just continue to be told, no, you can't rent here or you can't buy a house here because we're trying to save the suburbs. And I think there's something else too, another side note. I believe Donald Trump has done a very, very good job in scaring people into what might happen. And he's totally distracted people from what's actually happening. Like, he keeps saying, your taxes will raise under Joe Biden. Joe Biden will defund the police and you'll be totally defenseless. Joe Biden is for taxing everybody. Your taxes are going to skyrocket under Joe Biden. So let's be scared of what Joe Biden might do, which on one hand, Joe Biden has already said he's not doing any of those things. But let's be scared on what might happen. And let's ignore the 210,000 people that are dead from this coronavirus because of lack of leadership. So anyway, he's done a very good job of scaring people. And it's not about, like, save the suburbs. It's not about you let this element move in and my property value is going to go down. I mean, those are the things that are happening. That's just like every day. And that's on top of having to go out and bust our tails and work and put food on the table and make sure all of our bills are paid and make sure that we're spending enough time with our children. Like the normal stuff that everybody has to go through, like we're still going through that as well. And we have to worry about all the other stuff too. So the fight between what's legally responsible and what's morally responsible, I believe, is now being blurred. And I think that's something that perhaps needs to be discussed more, needs to be talked about more. Because some of the things that are happening, they are both legally wrong and morally wrong. So that's what I have for you guys. I think that's also another side note. I think that's why I love the character of Spider-Man and Peter Parker. I just love characters that have that conflict going with them anyway. But Spider-Man is just, to me, Spider-Man is such a great example of having these powers and always struggling with doing the right thing with the power. Like, he's kind of a humble dude. Like, he's a high school kid. He's got this super strength and speed and spider sense. Like, he could, and he started off doing what most people would do. Like, he started off like wrestling, trying to make money. He wanted to impress a girl. He wanted to buy a car. He wanted to do all the normal things that normal people would want to do. And then something happened. His Uncle Ben was murdered, and his Uncle Ben was murdered by somebody that he could have stopped. So Spider-Man is in constant struggle with, like, his pride, his ego, you know, things like that. That's why I love that story, because he is always fighting what's morally right versus, you know, what might sometimes legally be considered right. And I don't know, even though he's a fictional character, there are plenty of examples of people that do that on a daily basis, like real people that do that on a daily basis. But that character has always struck a chord with me because of his constant inner battle between the right and the wrong. So what I would say, everybody, what I would suggest for everybody, you know, follow that voice. I believe that voice will lead you in the right way. And I also believe that if your inner voice is leading you on a different path than what mine is, then we can still have a discussion and not hate each other. And that's something I believe that is lost. I don't think people understand civil discourse, because that's what it should be. It shouldn't be screaming and yelling and personal attacks and things like that. There are plenty of people that I can have a conversation with that I don't agree with, social issues with, and we're not yelling and screaming and spittle flying out of our mouths at each other and things like that. I'm totally fine with, because I know people don't believe like I believe, and I'm not expecting people to believe like I believe. Like, I'm not, I don't know, is that arrogance? Is that arrogance to think that other people should always believe how you believe and think how you think? I don't know, that's kind of wild. That's another idea for another podcast. So anyway, thank you guys very, very much. Listen to that moral center, listen to that voice, and then have empathy. Empathy is the key. Being able to understand where somebody else has come from gives you the ability to have civil discourse. And that way your moral center can not be in line with somebody else's moral center, but that doesn't mean that you hate them. That doesn't mean that you think legally they should be locked up or whatever. So empathy is key. So thank you guys very much. Have an excellent, wonderful, wonderful weekend. Don't forget, check me out on my various forms of social media, on Instagram at Corsi the Wine Lover. I'm still loving wine. Team is exploding. The team is blowing up, and I've added another amazing offer. So besides the wine, besides the coffee, I've got the brain food. You ever heard of a nootropic? If you haven't, go to Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures and click on the Healthy Brain Food tab. It'll explain to you a little bit what a nootropic is, how you can benefit. It helps you feel better, helps clear up mind fog, and it gives you that little energy boost through the day. So go check that out. Thank you guys very much for sticking with me, and I will talk to you in the next one.